Well, good morning, everybody. It's time to rise and shine and time to get our prayer on. That's right. It is the prayer closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to pray for you. If you have a prayer need today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. Or let us help you by praying for you today, by lifting you up before the Lord. And not just myself, but everybody listening as they listen in to pray along. And you could have hundreds, thousands of people praying for you today. So if you have a need, a concern, something weighing you down, let's hear from you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com is the number to call to make your prayer request known. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't have to worry about that. We just want to lift you up before the Lord. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come and pray and to pray for each other, to lift each other up before the Lord, to encourage one another with prayer, to help one another, to bear each other's burdens as we lift each other up before you. We pray that you will indeed move with power and might in the lives of your people today, that they would be strengthened, encouraged, helped by you and through you. Lord, we know you are a good and gracious and loving God, and so we pray that you will be good to your people and move with power and might in them. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we started last week looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous chapter on love, as we've been talking about love. And we're going to continue, pick up where we left off. And 1 Corinthians 13 comes after chapter 12, where Paul's talking extensively about the fruits of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, and the need for those gifts and how they function within the church and how they serve the church. But he ends with this wonderful chapter on love and tells us that, you know, whatever gift you may have and however God has called you to serve, if we don't do that in love, nothing else matters. That is the love that we show through those gifts that matters. And if we don't have that, then nothing else really counts. And so let's pick up in the very last part of chapter 12, the last verse there, where Paul writes this: "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." We'll stop there. And we are up to is what I like about this chapter is Paul, you know, commends love to us. He tells us, you know, without love, we're nothing. But then he tells us what love is, right? He's defining the term. He's not just saying love each other. We hear that all the time in our culture, but what do we mean by love? Usually we mean that, you know, gooey feeling, you know, we have strong feelings towards someone. We have good feelings about something. But love isn't a feeling. Love is an attitude and an action and a characteristic. And Paul's describing that to us. And so let's pick up where it says that it keeps no record of wrongs. And this is both the most hopeful and perhaps most difficult part of love. The fact that love keeps no record of wrongs is the most hopeful part of love, because that's what we so desperately needed as sinners in need of salvation and forgiveness. If God kept record of wrongs, we would all be in trouble. But the Bible tells us, and the Word of God tells us, that when we are forgiven by Christ and when the blood of Christ washes over us, our sins are removed. And God says he throws them as far from himself as the east is from the west. That he drops them in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. Because they've been forgiven. And once they've been forgiven, it's over. There's no record of them. There's a legal term that someone, if they have a criminal record or record of wrongdoing in the past, they can have their record expunged. And what this means is that whatever crimes or bad things they do are removed from the record so that it no longer shows up. Right? So if you have a criminal past or something, people can look up your record and see, oh, you know, so-and-so was arrested for this or that in the past and maybe convicted of this crime or that crime. And even if you've reformed yourself, let's say that was 30 years ago and you've lived a perfectly good life since then. You know, maybe you came to faith in Christ and God turned your life around. You turned away from your life of crime and now you're serving Him and you're faithful and you're living the way that God wants you to live and doing all the right things and living a holy and righteous life. But nonetheless, if somebody wants to call up your criminal record, and it may be from 20, 30 years ago, there it is, old Bob. He may be a Christian now, he may be a God-fearing man now, but boy, back when he was a teenager, back in his 20s, he was a hellraiser, he was causing all kinds of trouble. Got arrested for this, got arrested for that, and there's your record of wrongs. Unless someone comes along and expunges that record. And what happens is all those crimes are removed. So now when I go back and look at your record, I see Bob, oh, that Bobby's a good Christian man, and I go back and look at his record and say, yep, clean, living a good life. Because all those crimes in the past, all the things you may have done wrong in the past, have been removed. It's not just that you paid the penalty for them and, you know, paid your debt to society and you've moved on and turned your life around. It's like they're not even there. It's like they never happened. And that's what love does. It doesn't keep any record of wrongs. It doesn't hold those things against us. And that's why God can forgive us in such a complete and absolute way. It's not like God forgives us, but he always remembers. Right? I forgave you for that, but I'm not going to forget you did it. I'm just going to be keeping my eye on you. No, that's not what God does. When he forgives, and it removes it. He keeps no record. It's gone. We're moving on from that. We're moving ahead. We're looking ahead to where we're going, not what was behind us. And so we truly can have a new and fresh start in God. That's the hope and the joy. Because of that, because of God, because God is love, and because that is a nature of love, to not hold these things against us, then the hope that we have is that, you know, God loves us and is going to forgive these sins and not remember them, and they'll will never be come up again. We're truly free from them in Jesus Christ and through his blood and his sacrifice. But now God says to us, this is how I have loved you. So now this is how I want you to love each other. Which means we're not to keep a record of wrongs for those who have wronged us. Someone wrongs us and they come to us and ask for forgiveness. We need to not just forgive them, but we need to expunge that record. We're no longer going to hold that against them. We don't bring it up. But don't come back with it every time they upset us. Say, hey, remember that time I forgave you for this? Remember when you did that? So, you know, don't be telling me right now. We don't do that. We don't bring it up. We don't bring up their past. We don't throw it back into their face. You know, there's nothing more frustrating when someone says they've forgiven you for something and then every time they get upset at you, boom, they throw that right in your face. Yeah, I forgave you, but remember when you did this? Well, then you didn't really forgive me, did you? Because when we do that, we show that we haven't forgiven. And we show, more importantly, that we're not really loving each other. And we're not really loving them. Because we're keeping that record of wrong. We're saying it's okay, but it's really not. And we do this a lot in our marriages, in our relationships, friendships. And stuff will come back up that we said we forgave, but now it's just coming back up, or we're throwing it back in that person's face, and it's just toxic. It really poisons a relationship when we do that. And the reason it does is because it's unloving. Because true love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. True love forgives them and moves on. Now, we're not obviously going to forget. There's not a way for us to forget that thing ever happened. You know, I'm not saying you have to pretend like you never, don't even, what? Remember you, I don't even, what are you even talking about? Obviously, we're going to remember, right? We can't erase our minds. This isn't like, what was the movie, Men in Black, where they'd see the aliens and they'd flash them with that pen so they forget what they saw. You know, it's not like that. And we don't have that ability. But it does mean that I'm not going to bring that back up. You know, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to mull it over. I'm not going to think about it all the time. I'm putting it back in the back of the shelf and moving on. And even when there have to be consequences, let's say, for example, someone, you know, embezzles money from the church. They confess their sin. Maybe they make restitution, pay the money back, we forgive them. We receive them back as full members of the church. We don't say, you can come back, but you're only a half member. All right, you're never going to be really a part of this again because you're really screwed up. No, we're keeping no record of wrongs. Now, we may not put them in charge of money again. They're probably not going to handle the finances again. But that's not necessarily keeping a record of wrong when we do that. And in fact, that may be an act of grace, because if they were tempted once to steal, why would we want to put that temptation before them again? It's like putting an alcoholic in charge of the communion wine, right? Why are you going to put that temptation before them? We don't want to do that. We don't want to tempt them into sin. And so, yes, there may be consequences for our behaviors that we can or cannot do anything. I know in our church, we have a policy. If you've ever been convicted of a sexual crime, you can never work with children. It's just never going to happen. I don't care how long ago that happened or what occurred. You're never going to work with kids in our church. Now, that doesn't mean you can't work in the church. It doesn't mean you can't help. It doesn't mean that we'll find a place for you to serve. We'll find a place for you to serve. We'll find a place for you to use your gifts and your callings. We'll find a place for you to plug in and be a vital part of that church. You're not going to serve in that particular area. But again, we're not like putting a scarlet A on people. You know, we're not going to announce that from the pulpit. All right, here's Bob. We all know what Bob did. So Bob's not going to be working with the kids during VBS this summer, but he can do that. No, we're not doing that. You know, it's about protecting the kids and again, about not putting temptation before people. And, you know, and so we'll have that discussion privately, but we're also going to find a place for them to serve and be a vital part of the church and let them be a full, complete, contributing member. Let them grow. Let them mature in their faith. Let them exercise the abilities that God's given them. And so when we talk about keeping no record of wrongs, you know, it doesn't mean we do stupid things. It doesn't mean that we, you know, don't take some things into account when we're thinking about where people serve and how they serve in the church and how they serve each other. But again, it's not out of condemnation for them, not out of a lack of respect for them or a lack of love for them, but simply out of a need to be responsible, but a need also to love them and not put temptations before them that might overwhelm them again. We want to help them to grow in the Lord. We want to help them to be strong in the Lord. We don't want to put stumbling blocks in their way. But again, the attitude has to be one of what's best for this person. And we're not doing it in a condemning way. We're not doing it in an accusatory way, but in a way that genuinely seeks the good of that person. And certainly we're not bringing it up time and time and time again. We have the conversation once and it's done. Say, these areas you can serve, and these areas we're not going to be able to let you serve. But these are all the other areas where you can serve. And let's talk about what you can do. We're not going to worry about what you can't. We're not going to dwell on that. We're going to talk about what you can do. Let's see where you can serve. Let's see where you can use your talents for the Lord. That's not going to be our focus. That's what we're going to dwell upon. And that's how we need to approach it in our relationships. So people have hurt us in the past and done things in the past. Yes, there may be trust that needs to be rebuilt. We may need to do things, you know, if we're the one who is offended, to do things to build that trust. If we're the one who's been offended, to, you know, that trust needs to be rebuilt. But we need to give that person that opportunity to rebuild that trust. And if we're keeping records of wrongs and all constantly throwing that in their face, we're never giving them the ability to rebuild trust. We're never giving them the ability to show that they have changed. We're never giving them the ability to live out the redemptive work of God in their life. We're denying that to them because we're constantly throwing this back up at them. So let's not keep a record of wrongs. Let's not focus on the errors. Let's not focus on the failures. Let's not focus on the hurts. Let's focus on the forgiveness and the restoration and the redemption, because that's what God does for us. That's how God serves us. That's how God loves us. And that's how he's calling us to love each other. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893. Or go online at prayer@yeshome.com. And we have a number of requests in. Of course, we also want to pray for the folks in Salina and in the Dayton area who suffered through those tornadoes. Let's begin with that. Lord, we do lift up the people in Salina and the people in Trotwood and Dayton and all these other places where tornadoes came through. Last night, there's so much damage to so many homes, and Lord, so many people without power today. We know it's going to be a major issue for many, many people. Lord, we pray, thank you that there doesn't appear to have been any loss of life, at least none reported so far, and that injuries are few. So we praise you for that. We do thank you for that. We pray for those who have been injured that they would recover quickly. But we thank you for the preservation of life, and we pray for the restoration of these homes that have been lost, and Lord, that you would restore them quickly, people quickly to their homes, help them to get rebuilt as they are, in many cases, just utterly destroyed. And so, Lord, we pray for your hand to be upon them. Many people probably in shock today, but Lord, we pray that your comfort and your peace would be over them as they experience your presence in their lives. They would turn to you, Lord, and find the hope that they need, and that you would restore them. We pray this in your name. Amen. We also want to pray for a request. A listener called in, said they're having a hard time dealing with their sister's death, and their right knee has issues that need to get looked at. Lord, we lift up this listener to you. We pray for them as they're struggling with their sister's death. Obviously, Lord, a great loss, and we pray for comfort and peace for them. We know the sorrow we feel when we lose loved ones. And even if we know they're saved and know they're with you, it's still the pain of separation, Lord, until we see them again. And so we pray that you would comfort this person as they deal with their sister's death and the loss of that dear loved one. And pray that you would your peace would come over them. Your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so we pray for your comfort upon them. And we do pray for their knee as they're struggling with his knee that has some issues that need to be looked at. We pray for healing for that knee, that you would ease any pain or discomfort that they're having, any immobility because of that. Lord, that you would touch and heal that and strengthen them. We pray this in your name. Amen. And someone asking for prayer, say, please pray for my parents who are Buddhist and are visiting us from Thailand. Pray that they would receive Jesus in their hearts before it's too late. And also praying for her and her husband as they've been arguing a lot. He seems very stressed and irritable. Pray also for the business for us to get into. Pray that my husband and I will pray and read the word and fast and tithe. Lord, we do lift up to this listener to you. We do pray for her parents who are visiting from Thailand. We thank you for that, the blessing of that gift, of that visit. Pray it will be a blessed time. But we pray, Lord, that they will see the light of Christ in her. And Lord, that their hearts would be open to the gospel. As they see Jesus in her, that they would want to know and have what she has. And Lord, that you would open their hearts to the truth of the gospel, and that they would indeed be saved and come to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, we pray for her and her husband as they're struggling through some things right now, and he seems to be under some stress, and it's putting some stress upon their marriage. Lord, we pray that you would, whatever these stressors are, that you would lift them off of him and help them to just turn them over to you. And Lord, that you would bring peace to that marriage. And Lord, peace to their hearts. And calm them, Lord, and allow them to live out the love that they have for one another. And pray for their business as they're making some decisions about what business to go into. And Lord, do pray that they will, as she asks, that they'll look to you. They'll read the word, they'll pray, they'll fast, they'll seek after you, Lord, for wisdom in these areas as you guide and direct them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And one last, just need a prayer for a listener who's facing a spiritual struggle. Lord, we pray for this listener in the spiritual struggle. We pray that you bring clarity to them, bring the hope of grace to them, bring the hope of forgiveness to them. Bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ to them. Lord, to break through some of these things that are confusing them and causing them worry and fear and anxiety, that you would break through all of that with the truth and the light and the hope of the gospel. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. Remember, we are here every weekday at 9 o'clock to pray for you. You can get those prayer requests to us by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com at any time. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, and get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go online to our website, yeshome.com, and click on the chat now button. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.